The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 483. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people?
How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What up?
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And of course, Brian Mongioma.
What up, what up?
All right, guys, you already know, back with another one. We don't know where Chris is, so hopefully he shows up. By the way, Carlos, man, like, what's going on in Texas with rain, man? Are you getting any of that stuff? Because one of my colleagues from Texas, like, showed us a crazy flood, but he might be, like, thousands of miles from here or something. Obviously, yeah, not thousands, I mean, but you know what I mean, you know?
Yeah, it's not nothing, not a single drop over here.
Wow.
There's parts of Texas that are flooding like crazy. Literally 0 inches of rain has dropped on this city.
Yeah. I think my homie's from San Antonio, so maybe that's why. But like, it looked like Louisiana, like where you're like, yo, bro, are you good? Like the cars were all flooded. Like, what's happening over there? You know?
If that's San Antonio, that's near Chris.
Oh shit. Maybe that's why Chris isn't on.
That it could be.
You know, he could be Chris rolling out there. Keep swimming, Chris. Oh, man. All right. So this weekend gaming is one of those weeks where nothing ultra big happened, but a lot of things happened. Very interesting. So we're going to start with Stellar Break because you guys seem to like those episodes. So hold on. Excuse me. I see Chris in the notes. I see Chris in the notes right now in G-Doc, so he may be jumping in, you know. But let's get into
Chris.
It. So, let's go. Let's go.
I called him. Yes.
Hey, Chris, how you doing, man?
Hey, doing good. I just got Olivia to bed.
Ah, good. Is it raining over there by any chance?
It was a little while ago. It's not right now, but the weather here is crazy. Like, okay. There was tornado warnings last night. So.
Okay. Yeah, because one of my coworkers, he lives, like, closer to San Antonio. He was showing us some floods out there and shit. I'm like, what is happening, bruh?
We're having some crazy weather.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Carlos and El Paso is like, ain't no water. We good. Oh,
got nothing,
man,
to drink.
I got to get a drink, you know?
Yeah, you got to get it all. You got to get humidified.
Yeah, shout out to Adam, man. All right, so let's start with Stellar Blade. Obviously, there's the controversy hasn't stopped, but I want to talk about some good news, although there's an undercurrent of controversy, according to one website, which I'll go unnamed. But we'll get into that in a bit. So basically, over on Metacritic, the game has the week started with it having like the third highest Metacritic score for a PlayStation game, but now it's the first, the highest rated period for a PlayStation game. And there's been some interesting discrepancies. Like the previous one that was like number one had like 330-ish, like, you know, votes. Celebrate had like 3,000 votes, you know, like basically you take all the user reviews, the amount that have been put in there, Celeblade blows them away. So some sites are saying that this is manufactured by people who want to stick it to people who don't like this game, journalists specifically. I don't know if that's the case. It could be, because that does sound really nuts. It's like literally there are like 10 times more people giving this game a review than like the next highest rated game, you know? But either way, I think it's cool. You know, again, as we talked about previously, even people who want to hate on this game begrudgingly say, man, this is a good game. They admit it in their articles. They said, I want to hate this game, but I can't because it plays good and it's fun. which is really insane to just admit that, you know. But what's going on, Blitz? Oh, thank you for joining us, man. I haven't seen you in a while. He goes, some serious boner votes going on. Saw some tits and ass. 10 out of 10. You crazy, bro. but listen, I'm not saying none of that isn't happening either, you know. But either way, I'm glad that people are enjoying the game and stuff. I'm noticing that the conversation is kind of shifting now that kind of the nonsense is going on. People are going, this is just a fun, cool game, you know? And again, the game Tony, what's up?
Would you say that it's shifting up?
Yes. I make these puns. I don't even know it, man. It happens. Yes, Brian, it is shifting up. But Brian, what's your take on this, you know, this latest bit of, I would consider it good news, you know?
It's probably exactly as you say, but it doesn't make it any less funny that that's the case. Again, I'm certain that it's just a bunch of people that are either thinking that, okay, it's a good game, they'll place their votes, and some, well, probably a lot more that are just like, okay, let's just stick it to the people who don't like it and vote it up. You know, it's like any time, I'm sure that Riku and other anime guys know this, but it's like any time that any anime on my anime list gets anything higher than Full Metal Alchemist, then suddenly people just rage out and say, no, only this game can be good, so hence let's vote it up so that we stick it to the people, you know. So it could be the same thing, but it doesn't make it any less funny, though. Like, when you told me what was happening, I just could not stop laughing.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's a large discrepancy. It's like the next game that has the highest review score has like 330 votes. Meanwhile, Celebrate has like 3,000. Like, whoa. Very interesting. By the way, so Brian, I guess I would be like the reverse review bombing, right? Because review bombing is technically, you know, you bomb it to hell. But this one's like review boasting. We're using that now. Review boasting.
Review boasting. The review train.
The review train, you know. Bliss says, personally, I want to see more shorter action-focused games. Way too many huge open-world 100-hour games at the moment. Yeah, and a lot of people aren't talking about that, but I talked about that in my review. I'm like, it's refreshing to play a full game, all the content, 30 hours. That's beautiful. No crazy open worlds and all that. That's not to say the game's linear, which obviously isn't, later on, but yeah, it is nice. And this is going back to the whole conversation of like, you know, what do we do about ballooning AAA budgets? Like, what are you willing to sacrifice? Sacrifice fucking game length. How about that? You don't need to lose the graphics, but you just keep the game short. We could have that. We could have our big AAA cinematic games that respect our time. You know, we could have both. And Celebrate is proof of that. And it's fun. I'm eager to see what other possible content maybe coming out for it, you know, because they built a really cool world that they could expand on. And, you know, they're probably going to throw more costumes because people like the costumes, despite some of the controversy that's happening with that, you know. I know some people are hoping that Shift Up is going to change its stance and reverse things. It's not up to them. It's up to Sony. And we know Sony's history when it comes to censorship, which, again, is kind of double standard because, like, look at what you allowed in The Last of Us 2, for example, but little booby, that's you know, anime booby, that's bad. Very interesting. Logic Wins, what's going on, brother? He goes, we need more games like Stellar Blade, smaller open worlds that are more feature-packed than ideal. Yeah, just make shit more dense, man. You could do that, you know? Just pack more cool stuff in a smaller space. But, yeah, anyway, good stuff. Keep doing your thing. I'm going to call it unsubstantiated report because it's a fucking insider. You know how we feel about insiders on Throwdown. saying that the game had sold a million copies in 24 hours. If that happened, Sony would have been talking about it. I mean, they haven't said anything yet. So we'll see, which is interesting. I'm like, how many copies is this game actually selling? You know, how hard are these guys sticking it to the haters? You know? But if it sold a billion copies in 24 hours, Sony would have said something. Absolutely. You know? But we'll see, man. What's up?
I will say this. I know I feel like this game gets a lot of praise from people like us.
Yeah.
Who, you know, it sort of epitomizes like just what a decent game should be.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this type of game would not have been as popular if not for the controversy.
I think you're right. I think the game would have been, this is what I think, this is just, you know, just what I the feeling I get from this game. I think it would have been one of those slow burn games. Like word of mouth, we could make it more and more popular. Like, oh, this game's cool, this game's cool. But yes, the controversy helped a lot, you know?
Because if you think about it, one of the games that we always, you know, compare it to is Nier Automata. Mm-hmm. That's like the pinnacle of what that sort of that type of game should be in a way. And it's not even, and Nier Automata isn't that popular of a game.
No, even though that was a little controversial, not as much as this, but there was controversy around that game too. But the controversy didn't help that game. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think it was more like, oh, people like whatever. But with this game, it blew up. But yeah, you're right, because this is, I said this in my review too, this is a more polished version of Nier Automata. It really is. But I agree with that assessment, but I still think this game would have done well. Maybe not as well, but it would have done well. Because, again, at the end of the game, it is a very competent, well-done game with really fun mechanics, you know? Could have been the new Vanquish. That would not be a good thing. I love Vanquish, but that game kind of didn't go anywhere. But that could have been Sega too fucking up. You know? This is Sega we're talking about, you know?
And if this is Torrance, it's like, this could have been the next Dark Void.
Yeah. What's that other game that he liked? That Akuma looking dude, Capcom game. Asura's Wrath. Yeah, Torrance would have said that. It's like Asura's Wrath. You know.
Question, Tony. Do you have the story on Dark Void on the show notes?
Wait, what's going on with Dark Void?
Well, it won't be going on much longer on Steam.
I'll add.
It'll
that.
Be going on the Void.
Yeah. Brian, I'll let you talk about that. We'll bring that up a little bit later. I didn't know, but Torrance is not going to be happy about that.
Oh, dude.
You know?
It's his favorite game.
His favorite game, you know? All right, I'll add it to the show notes. So, and Brian, I'll let you take the lead because I'm just now hearing about this. All right, does anybody else have any more thoughts on the Stellar Blade? All right, we'll take that as a no, so move on.
Yep.
Oh, what's up? Oh, Rich, what's up, man?
Oh, yeah, just a quick comment. Glad to hear about the positive reviews. I do agree that some of that is a response to the controversy. But regardless, I'm glad that the game is getting more attention because it deserves to get more attention. So we shall see what happens. But I'm waiting for Sony to release them sales numbers if they ever do that.
Yeah, and if they don't, that you could take it two ways. The traditional way, which is, hey, this game didn't sell well, or Sony doesn't want you to know how successful it was, which I don't think is going to happen. Oh, shit. Dark Void is getting delisted, bruh. Oh, shit. Digital games, baby.
There you go. Go download your Dark Void.
Digital games. All right, man. Let's move on, man. This was just controversial just because it's Xbox. Xbox Game Showcase. Happening on June 9th, followed by a redacted Direct afterwards. We know what that redacted is. Stop playing. You know it's a motherfucking Call of Duty, you know? Very interesting. But Carlos, I think this throws off our prediction that this isn't going to be called the Microsoft Activision, you know, fucking conference.
Bethesda.
Yeah, Bethesda, all of them, you know? Go ahead, bro.
It's about time they grew the balls to just say that this is just Xbox.
Yeah.
Because it is.
Vanquish Remake would be dope. All right, anyway, I'm gonna read this from Xbox Wire. Remember that from Family Guy, the Wire. Like what's it like? There's only two good shows on TV: Breaking Bad and The Wire. All right, mark your calendars. The Xbox Game Showcase will be live streamed on June 9th, 2024, starting at 10 a.m. That is 1 p.m. for us.
PT, you mean the Kojima game?
Yo, are they going to be dropping that new Kojima game? So when is June 9th? Is that a weekend, weekday? What is that? Somebody look that up. Anyway. What day?
Sunday.
Sunday. I'm wondering if we should do a live stream. There'll be two shows that day for Throwdown.
All right, let me check my schedule.
And Rich, you'll
be back.
You'll be back. Perfect. And Rich, you'll be actually out there at that time, won't you?
I may or may not be out there at that time. But what I can say is, if I am out there, I will be happy to let you know what the reaction is to the trailers or the announcements as they happen, because, yeah, that'll be quite an interesting experience.
Yeah, our man well, on I mean, the field, would, you know?
Yeah, our boots on the ground.
Richard
I mean,
Bailey Jr.
Great.
Reporting live from Los Angeles, Summer Game Fest 2024. Rich, what's the reaction out there? Oh, yes, it's very interesting out here. Oh, man. That'll be dope. Anyway, so yeah. I mean, go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
That'll work out perfectly because, I mean, we can stream the show live. It'll probably be in the around morning, noontime. So yeah. We'll stream that and then throw down your questions. It's going to be right after. So this question show.
No motherfucker's going to have questions. Oh, that's going to be a good day. That's going to be a good day. Like Ice Cube said, you know, today was a good day.
Today was a good day.
Yeah. Did you know somebody actually like figured out what day that was?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like based because like he makes a reference to like a basketball game happening that day. You know,
no.
the Pistons beat the Supersonics. So you know, somebody calculates like, oh, it happened on this day. This was the good day for Ice Cube. Shout out to the internet, man. Sometimes you're not evil. You know.
Sometimes.
Anyway. It says like our double feature last year with Starfield Direct. Immediately following the showcase, we'll be airing a special deep dive into the next installment of a beloved franchise. We can't say much, but for now, we'll call it the Xbox showcase followed by Redacted. Like, come on, bro. You know it. This will also be our first showcase featuring games from our portfolio of studios across Activision, Blizzard, Bethesda, and Xbox Game Studios, in addition to titles from our third-party partners. You'll be able to enjoy both of our June 9th live streams live through a variety of outlets like Throwdown. I've added that, obviously. You know, good shit, man. Mob Hitsy's excited. What are you excited about? I'm being curious too, you know. But yeah, Rich, what's your take on this, man? As someone who will be out there on the field reporting live.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to going to the show. I believe that we will finally get a Gear 6 announcement. So, you know, the Adam will be very happy to see that. But let me just say this. The way that this news came out and the fact that they refused to say what the other presentation is. And then I go and I see Tom Warren has already said, oh, yes, this is Call of Duty, because you could tell by the logo it's Call of Duty. I think that was kind of silly of Microsoft not to just say what it is.
Yeah.
And that instantly made me think to myself, well, I don't know what's going on with the FTC. I guess they don't want to talk about Call of Duty because that was a very sensitive topic in that court situation. So I assume this is why they don't want to say it. But I just thought it was silly that everyone else figured out what it was and Microsoft's still saying it's redacted. So
yeah. We have an announcement to make. We've hired Jim Ryan as an executive. He'll take us into the future of gaming. He also doesn't need to fly around.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to.
By the way, Blitz, he writes Gears all in caps. I just want you to know that I heard it in Adam's voice. Gears.
Gotta be the Gears. I gotta mean, be Gears. Been waiting.
You know, the roadies.
They gotta have some.
Blitz says, I just thought the redacted bit is just because it's Black Ops. Yeah, Call of Duty, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Telling you, man, Call of Duty. So it should be interesting. I'm actually really hyped now, man. We have to live stream that shit. It's been a minute since we've done that on Throwdown.
Oh, yeah. We haven't done that in a long, long time.
Mostly because they haven't had any shows, you know. We're back. So, yeah, good stuff. We'll see. I'm eager to see. Here's what I'm eager to see. What the fuck is coming out this year? That's what I want to know. Like, what is Xbox dropping this year? If you're going to drop anything this year, this is the year to do it, because Sony ain't dropping shit. Like, let's just be real. Sony already said we are not going to release any new first party new IPs this year, right? So the ball is yours, Microsoft. Do something, you know? So it should be interesting.
I mean, they got Hellblade and Call of Duty is, I think, that 1-2 punch, but I don't know anything else. I mean, here's... our boy Jeff Grubb said Gear 6, don't be surprised that we hear about that in the summer.
Well, two other things.
Shit.
Grubby, is that what we call him? Called Grubby.
Call him Grubby. What up, Grubby?
Yeah, what up, Grubby? Go ahead, Rich.
Two other things, Carlos. Avowed is, you know, Avowed is coming out. They confirmed that is coming out this fall. So that's game. Then, of course, let's not forget, Carlos, the game that we will be talking about later, the game that you said you were going to wait until it was a 60 frames per second patch, Starfield. I'm pretty sure that expansion will be coming out later this year, whenever they decide to release it.
What was it, Rich? What was the thing that they said? It's like, oh, they announced all these Starfield features and stuff that they're going to announce, but there's
land vehicles. Come later or something.
Oh, yeah,
like that.
Yeah, man. It's like, come on. That's the thing that might have brought me back.
It's an announcement of an announcement.
So let me just say, I'll be glad. I can't wait till you get to this topic, Tony, because I definitely would like to hear what Brett has to say about this game and whether or not he will be checking out any of this other stuff that is coming to the game later.
I'll make sure that's the next topic we talk about. You know, but yeah, it's. Is anybody here like genuinely hype for the Xbox showcase? Brett, I want your thoughts, man, because you're like a resident Xbox guy. I know I'm calling it.
Oh God, has it come to this?
Yes.
I mean, I haven't really been paying attention to what's supposed to be coming. I'm interested in what's coming. Am I thinking that like they've got some fantastic hidden up their sleeve? Like, oh no, probably not. But they've been weirdly mum on, letting out a lot of information, you know, way down the line. So it kind of seems like they're keeping shit close to their chest lately. So,
yeah. What? So, but no, I'm laughing over something logical and stuff, but I'll say it later. So Brett, what do you want to see? Like, you know, like, what do you want to see from this thing? Like, that's going to maybe give you more hope for Xbox in the next like year and a half.
I mean, the same thing that we've kind of said before, like just see what some of these like unaccounted for, because like we still have, wasn't it like nine projects unaccounted for or something like that?
Probably more, yeah.
I mean, and it's entirely possible that Xbox came in and just, you know, chopped a bunch of projects, but it feels like a lot. And then we think have like next to nothing known about like things like Fable. So it's... at this point, I'm in a weird place because like there have been things that have been kind of announced that seemed kind of exciting, but with the Xbox tracks record and Xbox tax, like it's just I'm not really excited for anything until I kind of see that it's ready to go. You know, it's coming out Fallout 4 situation. Other than that, like if you're saying, you know, even hey, it's coming out in 9 months, like I just don't know anymore, man. The whole gaming scene has just gotten so weird that I don't even, the things that I find that I generally seem to really like, they're not really things that show up in these sizzle reels. And if they do, they're things that, you know, show up and then they disappear and then they get released to no acclaim a couple of years later. Like I could give a fuck about the latest thing that they want to show me that has whatever first person exclusive or first party exclusive vibes to it. Like it's just whatever new Ubisoft fucking bullshit does everything Horizon Forbidden West clone you want to show me next. I don't care. When something comes out that a lot of people are saying, hey, this game is a lot of fun to play, then I'll care. I'll watch it, of course, but there's, in terms of like, what am I excited for? Nothing. Is there anything I would be excited for? No, because I have just kind of given up on big budget AAA gaming because it just kind of seems produced nothing but garbage.
All right, tell us how you really feel.
fair enough. I can't say nothing but. There are definitely, you know, there's Baldur's Gates and your Helldivers, and we definitely seem to be leaning backwards towards the other direction. It's just the thing that you want to publicize to me with, you know, a multi-million dollar advertising budget is not the thing that I care to hear about. So we're at a bit of a standstill here.
Yeah. All right. Oh, I got to read Larry's. So, Rich, remember when you were here reviewing Starfield for us and there was some controversy in the chat because Mob Hits wanted to know what your thoughts were. You remember? I'm pretty sure you remember that.
Oh, I definitely remember that because I got grilled about that for the entire show.
Yep. Well, he is reiterating his question to you. He goes, Richard Bailey Jr., the people need to know, is Starfield worth it now?
Well, the people need to know, and my answer is no, because I haven't touched that game since I reviewed it. If I don't go back to a game after I have reviewed it, that means, all right, that's it. I don't want to experience any more of that game. So the answer is no.
Yeah, well, I think you gave him the answer he wanted back then.
I will say I was genuinely interested, and I did enjoy my time with it in the beginning. So I will not take back anything I said in the review. It's just that there have been a lot of games that have come out since then that have captured my attention, and it's hard to go back to another game unless you really are into it. I'm not into it that much. Maybe our good friend Gary Swaby might be into it, but Gary does not play Bethesda games as of late, so I don't know. But yeah. But no, it's not worth picking up. Not now. There's too many other things that are worth picking up. So,
yeah. Logic Win says, I feel you, Rich, and gives you a thumbs up. So he was happy with that response. The response he wanted all along. By the way, real quick, shout out to Gary Swaby, who he finished playing Persona 3, the remake. What's the exact name of it?
Reload.
P3 Reload, and he put 166 hours into it. So my man went in. He went in.
Uh-oh.
You know, so shout out to Gary.
Yeah.
Now I'll forgive him for not, you know, reading my second manuscript. It's okay, Gary. I gave him that shit months ago. He didn't read it. Because Gary's my main, you know, when you're a writer, you got to have your main, alpha reader. He's mine, you know? And Gary hasn't read shit in months. Like, okay, now I know why. And Manny takes your approach, playing the game every so often, you know?
No, it's more like I'm playing one game for a long stretch.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He did exactly what you do. Like, he's been playing this one game for months, you know?
Yep.
Which is a good strategy because you get really, you know, you get a lot out of it, you know?
And you save yourself some fucking money because you're spending $70 on games now.
Yeah, that's
fuck
right.
That
yeah. Shout out to Gary, man. Regarding Starfield, because, you know, despite what, you know, people may think, I actually do like Bethesda games and I was looking forward to playing it. But I was like, I'll wait a little bit. I was planning to play it last year around December, you know, when things really slowed down. But when a motherfucker like Brett isn't hyped about it, I know I don't need to be playing that game. You know, I'm like, okay, bro, I think they fucked up here. Like, when I learned that basically the whole game's just loading screens, I'm like, that's not what I play Bethesda games for, man. Literally not. It's like, I want to be dropped into the world. Let me go where the fuck I want, you know? So forget that noise. And yeah. Anyway, let's talk about Starfield. I know Rich is waiting for this, man. Starfield finally getting a 60 FPS mode on Xbox. Manny, it's coming on your birthday, May 15th.
Oh, my God. Bethesda loves me so much, they added 60 frames per second on my birthday.
Yeah, for a game you're never going
to
play. What
is the world coming to? But for a game I'm not even playing, man. You know, I speaking of birthday, birthday gifts, I would say, you know, one of the better ones I got was, like, getting Max Payne on my birthday. That was awesome. Max Payne 3.
Nice.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, my birthday present to you this year is that Blind Guardian ticket, you know, so
we get
Blind Guardian ticket and food, you know. See, when you get older, these are the simple things that keep us happy, you know.
I mean, you know, my girlfriend was asking me, you know, like what I wanted to do for my birthday. And then she's like, oh, we could go here, go there. And she said, I can make a steak. And I'm like, ooh
yeah, that's a birthday right there, you know.
There you go. A nice home-cooked meal. I'm good with that.
Yeah, there you go, man. You got to appreciate the simple things, you know, especially when it's from someone you care about, you know. Perfect. Jay Shep, what's going on, brother? He goes, I remember today Howard said it was a creative decision to do 30 FPS. Remember when he said that? He said it was a creative decision. Like, okay, bro.
Isn't that odd?
Isn't that Todd, you know?
Isn't that Todd? Yo, man, we keep saying this. It's always, you know, they use any type of language to justify these things when we know, you know, It's if they want to get something into the market as soon as possible, then that's fine. But don't come up with these dumbass excuses saying, "Oh, it's actually an effect that we're doing at the 30 frames per second." It's a creative decision.
Yeah, it's to make it more cinematic.
Yeah, man,
to make it more cinematic, you'd run it at 24
frames per second. Yeah, exactly.
Per second. But would anybody play a 24 frames per second game? I don't know.
And you'd have film grain.
Yeah, exactly.
Film grain.
Creative decision. Okay, bro. So let me read this real quick. This is from The Verge, who's been doing a lot of good reporting lately all across the board. Starfield players on Xbox will no longer have to deal with the game's 30. I like that headline. The opening is fire. Starfield players on Xbox will no longer have to deal with the game's 30 frames a second cap. As part of an update arriving on May 15th, Bethesda will let Xbox Series X players run the game at 60 FPS. The 60 FPS option comes as part of several new display customization settings. The game will let you choose to prioritize visuals to, here's the quote, keep the highest resolution while maintaining full detail for special effects, lighting, and crowds, or choose to prioritize frame rate performance, which will, quote, lower internal resolution and detail for special effects, lighting, and crowds. All right, Bethesda recommends choosing the performance mode of running the game at 60 FPS or above. Check it out. It also recommends a variable refresh rate VRR display running at 120 hertz, but you don't need one to run Starfield at higher frame rates. The only downside is that you might have to deal with occasional screen tearing, and you'll also get fewer options to customize your display. With a VRR display, you can pick 30, 40, 60, or uncapped frame rate modes. Okay, seen that in some other games too. Go ahead, bro.
So just real quick, so everyone knows, the reason why it wasn't 60 frames per second is because the game wasn't optimized when they were releasing it to be 60 frames. So that's the reason.
Yeah, not what Todd Howard said, you know.
No, Carlos, I disagree. It was a creative decision to make the game 30 frames per second all along.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, people buy it.
I mean, we've heard that so many other times, man. Oh no, the Kinect is a vital part of the Xbox One experience. We can't just take it out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when people say, like, when Studio MHDR says it was a creative decision the way that they animated the thing, well, we get it. That's obviously makes sense why it's that way.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, it's a creative decision. What about on PC? Is that a creative decision too? It's been running over 30 frames on PC if you have a good enough rig. What's up with that?
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing was bullshit from the beginning, you know? Blitz, you're crazy. He goes, I choose you. Because Todd Howard looks like one of Ted and then Fanders' kids, you know? He really does. I remember Todd Howard, this is Jay Shep. I remember Todd Howard told PC players they needed to get a better PC. Yeah, but why, if it's a creative decision? Why would you need a better PC to run it at 30 frames a second, right?
It's all about the vision.
These PR guys, man, something else. So my question is, will this update get you to play the game again? Rich, I'll start with you.
Absolutely not.
All right.
Let me just say this. There are a couple of games out now. There's obviously Hellblade 2 is coming out later this month. So I kind of think, like I have made the joke to you guys in the chat, I think it's interesting that all of a sudden, because that's coming out this month, Microsoft has decided, well, let's do some other stuff to these other games around the same time, because now people's attention is on Xbox and what they're releasing. This is an update I think that should have came sooner. Obviously, the game came out in September of last year. So waiting this long for an update, I understand it, but I think there should have been something in between that time period. That's a long time. I don't know anybody that's still playing Starfield, but I definitely will not be picking it up again on the 15th of this month.
Yeah. Is anyone going to go back to it?
I will say this. I mentioned this earlier. The one thing that I was like, oh, this is interesting, was the whole land vehicles thing.
Yeah.
but then I kept reading it. It said for a later date. I mean, if anything would have made me go back, it's that, because, you know, traversing the worlds, can be kind of, you know, like repetitive and a little redundant. You know, trying to traverse all the different worlds, maybe you can find at least one thing, like maybe one side quest that's, you know, will change the course of how you feel about the game. But traversing it while you're just walking the entire planet is it's just laborious. It takes so much of your time just walking around. And you know, we mentioned this when the game came out. It's like land vehicles. I mean, some people liked it not having land vehicles, and that's fine. But you know, for me, when I'm traversing, when you give us hundreds or thousands of worlds to navigate through, it just, you know, it makes more sense to have a quicker way to traverse them if you want to, you know, put a dent into the whole world.
Blitz says no vehicles was an artistic decision.
It was. It's like people can do a light speed travel, but you know, God forbid there's a freaking truck on this world.
Yeah. J Shep asks, has any Bethesda game had land vehicles?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Not any of the ones I played.
Maybe Brett knows the answer to that. You know, I don't know if you count Fallout. Has Fallout had any of these types of vehicles or something like that?
Or Elder Scrolls?
What now?
Has any Bethesda game had land vehicles before?
Not really, no.
Okay.
I mean, horses.
Yeah. So you could ride not a vehicle.
Yeah, but, yeah. Elder Scrolls, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So horses. So
a horse-drawn carriage. That's a land vehicle.
They have those, right, in Elder Scrolls?
Yes.
No, just horses.
Okay. Aren't you on the back of a like horse-drawn wagon?
At the start of Skyrim,
yeah. But that's a cutscene.
Okay, so it doesn't count. So I'm going to say no land vehicles. The horses, unless you count them as land vehicles.
Well, they are. They're just not technology-based land vehicles.
Yeah, I think vehicles and animals are different things, but traversal. I will say this, why couldn't you have aliens that you could ride around on, right?
What now?
Why couldn't you have aliens you could ride around on in Starfield?
You know, like a horse-shaped alien.
Yeah, like a horse-shaped. If you have the mechanics already in there from other Elder Scrolls games, why not? Right?
Because you just walk. I mean, like, well, you don't. They have the mechanics in Elder Scrolls, but that's just you get on a horse and you just you're basically still walking. It's just a different in your character model. Like, and it, so you're walking faster with a different character model. And granted, I guess they could have done that. They could have also done some sort of power armor, like they have in Fallout. But like they let you jump so goddamn high, and they gave you the little jetpack backpack thing, which was, you know, pretty close to the jetpack they had in Fallout, which is the closest I think they had to like any kind of like advanced traversal. So, I mean, it is what it is. I don't get like why is everybody. Do y'all really think that having a vehicle in Starfield like that would have been it? That's the thing that was holding it back. That being able to move faster through the walled off nothingness of the procedural generation, like that would have made you feel better if you had a rover to do all this on. There wasn't anywhere to fucking go. Were you going to go there faster?
Yeah, Carlos, you could answer that.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to create a world like a system of planets where you can travel to, I mean, if you're going to go through it all, it might as well be worth it with something that makes you traverse it faster. There are, oh, by the way, someone's
yeah, by the way, that's Brett's dog, isn't it? Right, Brett? Your dog
snoring?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I knew it. Shout out to Brett's dog, man. let him sleep. He's good. You know,
if you're no, listening to Throwdown, man.
Yeah,
that
you should wake up, you know, but it's all good. yeah, let the dog snore, it's all good. Go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah, it's just, you know, if you're gonna give me hundreds or thousands of planets to visit, I mean it'd be great to be able to traverse them quicker. Yeah, I understand that the worlds are not, you know, they're bleak in a sense where they're not as heavily populated as others. But, you know, if you're going to do it, would be nice. But it's not a game changer for me. I mean, I already played and beat it. So, you know, it's not like for most people, it's not, you know, the be all and end all. But for me, if you want me to go back into the game, then, you know, having vehicles to traverse would have been nice.
Jay Shep goes, let me counter that question. Why give us 1,000 empty planets to walk around on?
Who knows? Who knows?
Because it's space. You know, like, are you complaining that there's space in the space game?
No, but I will say this. A lot of those planets have human life in them.
Too much like of them have life.
Huh?
Too much of them have life. Almost every single planet has life, which is weird.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Most of them have life in it, and a lot of them have alien technology, like relics and all this stuff. So, yeah. So, you know, I'm surprised. The thing for me, I understand why most of them are not, you know, densely populated. But what bothers me is the fact that there's only like five planets that have an actual city on them. I don't know if I'm exaggerating by saying five, but, you know, it's still puts the point across. It's not that many.
Yeah.
And like the most populated cities have a population smaller than my graduating class.
Yeah. I mean, Brett and I have talked about this. Neon is a great way that they approach this. We just wish there was more, not exactly neon type cities, but, you know, like at least something that was fleshed out like those. That would have been nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely can agree with that. There's just not many hub cities out there that make sense. Or are they even like space stations? Many space stations, because I don't remember there being that many.
It's just the ones that are related to most of those quests, like, you know, the what's those people called, the terrorist people in the game, like they have their space station. The UCC, the soldier people also have their space station, but other than that, it's kind of bleak. I think there's another one with the rich guy, the art collector guy.
Oh, yeah.
There's that one.
Hey Brian, yeah. I got a comment here for you. Actually, question for you from Jay Shep. So, Brian, there's a space game with no fucking aliens, and you're cool with that?
I never said that I'm cool with no aliens. I said that there's lots of planets that are empty, and I expected that. And that's why I'm always commenting that there's too many people on planets. Regarding the no aliens part, it definitely would be nice. Would be very interesting. I don't see why they don't do it. Again, given what Carlos said, that they have lots of alien structures dotted around in different planets. So you could say that I'm also not cool that there's no alien life forms. Well, depends what you mean by alien life forms.
Yeah, intelligent, I guess.
Intelligent. Not like just a puddle full of, like, you know, microbial life. I don't think you're talking about that, you know, or like, which is probably what you would see, you know, which is,
hold on. I think it's fair to have a low sci-fi setting. Like Tony, you fucking love The Expanse. The Expanse is a pretty low sci-fi setting.
Oh no, I'm not complaining about that. That's not a complaint for me.
To respond to the whole, like, you cool having a space game with no aliens? Like, yeah, man, there's all kinds of space shit with no aliens.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I understand that sentiment because I felt that way once. Like, I initially, and I'm very ashamed about this, I initially didn't like Firefly because of it. I'm like, where the fuck's the aliens? You know? But then obviously I learned you don't need aliens in sci-fi. You're good. You know? But there are alien structures, so I get that. But no, I agree with that. It's like, the Expanse is fucking, even though Expanse does have aliens, you know what I mean? But it's not like the crux of it, at least in the beginning.
Expanse has exactly the same amount of aliens that Starfield does.
Yeah. Blitz says they made Fallout full of mutants, so why not make a space game with aliens and vehicles?
Again, this is what we're talking about. Like, Fallout, Starfield has aliens, quote unquote. It's just not smart or humanoid aliens. It's not Mass Effect aliens, you know. So I think that's what we're arguing about, and I don't think anyone would complain if Starfield had more humanoid-esque aliens in it, would we? This is more towards Carlos and Brett.
I didn't catch the question.
Would we complain if there were more humanoid aliens in Starfield?
Oh, okay, gotcha. Oh, go ahead, Brett, sorry, I cut you off.
I wouldn't complain, but I also am not going to complain that, while I would have liked it, sure, I'm not going to complain that my cheeseburger isn't a chicken sandwich. You know what I mean? Like, it's not my vibe. I would have liked it better if it did have that other vibe, but, like, it's it is perfectly, it has every right to be what it is. Some people write like the very technical, low sci-fi NASA punk thing that they were going for. And clearly that's what they were going for, right? Like that was their the thing that they wanted off the bat. Is that what I like? No, I tend to like more high sci-fi stuff. It's great when, you know, you're sailing through the solar system for 2 months, just trying to get to the nearest, you know, solar body, but that's not me. But you know, sometimes their approach to doing different things works. Sometimes it does. You know, but Morrowind was extremely weird for a fantasy game of a sort. Like that thing was like almost a weird alien sci-fi kind of vibe. But it was something different, and that works. So I can respect that they set out to do a different thing with the sci-fi genre. I can respect that for the most part they got what they were originally wanting to do out of it, but that's also not the thing that I want. So it can be both.
Real quick here. Jay Shep says, here, let me answer the question that they won't. It's because Xbox rushed that shit out the door. And Blitz said,
Bethesda.
Yeah. And then
and it got delayed.
It did get delayed many times. So I don't know about rushed.
Yeah, and hold on.
Go ahead, Brett. You can answer
argue
that.
With that.
Yeah. By the way, I love how contentious shit gets when it's this game that gets brought up. Anyway, go on, Brett. You can
answer that. I strongly opposed the idea that this was pushed out the door. It was foundationally flawed from the get-go. It is Ooh. Nothing to do, like, more baking would have not have made Starfield better. A different design approach would have made Starfield better. But that's just, come on, man. Like, it's how do you think that longer baking would have adjusted this game other than them starting to like what tear shit up at the floorboards? Like, sure, that's I don't know, that's more time baking, that's tearing shit up at the floorboards.
Yeah,
I'm gonna agree with that assessment. It's not that the game needed longer, it needed to be just fundamentally changed, you know?
Yeah. It's the approach that they took with it. And going back to Brian's question, I feel like it would have made things more interesting because the weird thing with this game is it's just so not any, it's hardly ever dependent on either the lore or the, ironically, it's a game about exploration. It's not dependent on the exploration because there's not much to do of it. Like Brett mentioned, most of the worlds are kind of similar. There's not much variation to it. There's not much to go seek that will, you know, change your mind. There is some stuff, but you know, I feel like having more of a high fantasy approach would have at least added another variable into this equation. I don't know. Would have turned out any better or not? I don't know. I just know that, you know, the package that I got from this game was just a decent game. And, you know, with Bethesda, it's I don't know, the last couple of games that I played from Bethesda, they've been, you know, some of the best games I've ever played. So it's just taking a step down. And I mean, maybe it's my expectations that are to blame more than Bethesda is, but that's just the baseline that I have to go through.
Jay Shep goes, so why did 60 FPS come out 6 months later? They got the game running well enough to get out the door, but it's obviously incomplete.
Yeah, I mean, games never come out complete anymore. There's no such thing. That's an oxymoron these days. So,
unfortunately, yeah. Except for Stellar Blade, that's pretty complete. You know, and it's not broken either. Go ahead, Rich.
No, I just was going to make a comment about that. Yeah. I think we all can agree. I don't know exactly when this started, which generation it started. It feel like it was slightly before this generation. But yeah, every game that gets released is still patch update to fix this, you know, all this other stuff. So this is definitely something that's been going on a while.
Yeah. But after this, I mean, is the game even selling anymore or are people playing it?
I can answer that question. Yes, Tony, the game has a ton of engagement on Game Pass. That's my answer.
Oh, man. All right, man, let's move on. Let's talk about Bethesda, people. Keep on that. So apparently Bethesda is talking to some other studios to give them a hand so they can start releasing games faster because they're like, it takes too long for them to release their main games, and they want to, you know, see if they can recruit other studios to help them out Very interesting. Tower says, Todd Howard doesn't want to wait a long time for Fallout 5. Bethesda's last game, Starfield, I'm reading this from, which site is this? Videogames.si. I never heard of them. But the reporting seems decent. Bethesda's last game, Starfield, was in development for around 8 years. And even the most optimistic among us shouldn't expect its next big title, The Elder Scrolls 6, to be out at least until 2026. I wouldn't be surprised if it was later still. Yeah, I agree with that. That means if you're waiting for a new Fallout game after binging the TV series on Prime Video, nice use of linking there, you're probably got close to a decade before, unless something dramatic happens. That is insane, man. Anyway, in a recent interview with Kinda Funny, Bethesda boss Todd Howard said the studio is looking at ways of increasing its output and reducing the time between major launches. Here's what Todd Howard said. If I didn't make these games, I would just be playing them all the time. Even this weekend, I was jumping between Starfield, Fallout 76, and Fallout 4. That's how I spend my weekend playing games. I don't know what that has to do with the conversation. And they do take a long time. One of the things we're focused on is making sure they're of the highest quality, but also finding ways to increase our output because we don't want to wait that long either. That's never our plan, but we want to make sure we get it right. Yeah, because it does take a long time, you know? So, yeah, I'm wondering, you know, again, they're not officially like, oh, we're going to get help or something. It's something they've been discussing. But I wonder if that would, like, for lack of a better term, ruin their vision of their game. I don't know. What do you guys say about that?
So I just want to make a quick comment.
Yeah.
I don't think that they should rush out another Fallout game. Obviously, they've already announced the Elder Scrolls game is in development. So I understand. I understand the desire to want to do this because you see the show is very popular and has taken off. But I definitely think they need to take their time with that game. This is my opinion. And let me make this last comment. You know, we got to take a moment of silence to celebrate because today is actually a very important day. It's an anniversary day. I don't know if anyone of you guys know this or even the fans listening, but today is the anniversary of one of the most amazing games released last year by the name of Redfall. This was Carlos's. This was the game that Carlos and Adam, they absolutely loved so much. We only played it one time together and then we never played it again. So we got to acknowledge, yes, this game came out a year ago today. I don't know if they've ever released the 60 frames per second update to that, but I just wanted to make mention of that because it's a pretty important day in history.
Oh man, greatest Xbox exclusive ever, you know? Man, abysmal generation for Xbox.
I'm actually not gonna lie, but Richard, I genuinely thought that you're gonna say it was the anniversary of Iron Man 1, the first film.
Oh shit.
Because that did come out on the 2nd of May 2008.
Ah, I did not know that, so you taught me something.
But I was like, oh no, you're actually going to like go that far back. Oh, okay, no, you're talking about Redfall. Okay.
Jay Shep says. You're
talking about an unmomentous occasion as opposed to a momentous occasion.
Yeah, exactly. Jay Shep says, cue the defense wars. I don't think anyone's going to defend that fucking game, you know?
I actually want to find someone who actually will defend it.
Just that's to what see I want to see think. That, yeah. Defend this trash, you know? But yeah, there it is, man. There it is. Moving on here. This one's kind of interesting. So Square Enix is pretty much absorbing $140 million hit as they're canceling a bunch of games that are in development so they can reassess things. That's crazy.
Were they live service games?
They may have been.
I suspect they were live service games.
So,
their greatest game that they've ever created, Foam Stars, taught them to be the wiser.
Oh, shit.
Would it be Foam Stars or Avengers? That was an epic fail. They already took a hit on that game. They took almost as big a hit as canceling these games.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was Avengers, I would say, but also the other thing is it's like, they already, you know, disavowed themselves of that. Well, they literally sold Crystal Dynamics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they took the hit on that and they sold Crystal Dynamics, Forspoken or Flopspoken.
Flopspoken, you know.
You know, that bombed. And then, you know, you have Foam Stars. So, yeah, I mean, it's past time to reevaluate what you're doing.
Yeah. So let me read this. Oh, go ahead, Brian. Go ahead.
I think I'm going to say this, and I mean this with all due respect, but someone needs to say this. Square Enix is worse than Konami, and the only reason that they're alive is Final Fantasy.
Okay. Wow.
Okay, I you need to back that up now.
Chris just did. Like, yeah. If you take out Final Fantasy out of the equation, what has kept them afloat? Because everything else has just been really bad, and different degrees of really bad, and that's the problem. So I think that if they didn't have Final Fantasy, then Square Enix could have been done for by now.
I can't disagree with that.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't disagree with that. The only things they have, Final Fantasy and the other RPG franchise, Dragon Quest, they don't really release a lot of those. But shit, you're right. It's like, look at all these fails this company has had. Like you said, Avengers, you know, fucking Flop Stars. For shit. You know, the debacle that was the Crystal Dynamics thing. Like, wow.
Well, how push for NFTs?
Yeah. Oh, remember that bullshit? Oh,
that's right.
January 1st, these motherfuckers come out. Oh, NFTs are important to the company. Where are those NFTs now?
And I'm not saying this because I don't like them. Like, I really do like them. But just get to the point now where it's like, what are you doing? You know, it's like, do you not see that you're consistently doing the wrong things every single turn? And it's just like, how do you not get it right? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Logic wins, man. He goes, I loved Guardians of the Galaxy. And look what happened that game. The stink of Avengers made people not want to play that game, which was an objectively great game, but nobody wanted to fuck with it. You know, man, remember back in the day, remember when Squaresoft was like this shit? Every game they dropped was a fucking classic instantly. In the 90s, they ruled that shit, you know? But after the merger, you know, things kind of went sideways, man. You know? It's crazy. That is sad. But Brian, I can't disagree with your point there, man. They're worse than Konami, you know? And that's saying something, because Konami is terrible, you know? Wow. So, yeah, so right now, they're just going to absorb $140 million losses because they're canceling a bunch of games and reassessing things, ironically, so they can focus on more AAA games. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh,
well,
man.
My guess is they're saying so they can focus on more AAA games.
AAA Final Fantasy games.
I think it's established franchise games. So their Dragon Quest, their Final Fantasies, their Kingdom Hearts.
You know.
Right, but if they're starting from scratch now, like if these things weren't in development, but now they're like, okay, we're going to start development on these things, that's not going to bear fruit for another 3-4 years.
Yeah.
You know, so what do they do in the meantime?
Square Enix, you fucking up.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
They went down the line and everybody, they fell into the same trap that every single person every single studio has fallen into. Almost every single studio. Service games.
Service games. Here you go. You chase that fucking tail. What happens? All right, man. So, yeah, Square Enix, you fucking up. Very, very, very sad. So, we don't have sad news. This is interesting because this comes from AMD. But AMD, remember, they make the chips for PS5 and Xbox, so they would know this. This report comes from our boy, Dean Takahashi. You remember him? Cuphead Brett.
Dino.
Yeah.
How Dino doing?
Yeah, Dean Takahashi, right? PS5 and Xbox console sales look weak for the year. In fact, gaming demand is down a lot, says AMD CFO Gene Hugh in the analyst call after earnings today. Gaming was down 48% in Q1 compared to a year ago. That's crazy. That is insane. So this is what AMD says. If you look at gaming, demand has been quite weak. That's well known. Also, they have inventory issues. We guided down more than 30% in the first and second quarters, and the second half will be lower than the first half. This is how we are looking for the gaming business this year. I mean, again, If you don't have games to play, what do you need to buy a system for, right?
Nah, AMD's like, duh, just buy the consoles. Don't you don't need no games. Just buy them consoles. So we can make some more money.
Yeah. Buy our CPUs and GPUs instead. We need, you know. Doesn't AMD supply Xbox with chips? No, I'm saying they make chips for both consoles. Remember, both consoles are effectively the same. Internally, there's some differences, obviously, but they're effectively the same. They even run on the same architecture, you know? So they make it. They make chips for PS5 and Xbox. That's everybody knows that. So that's why I'm like, oh, let's listen to what AMD's talking about. But again, this has surprised me. Again, what games are you going to play? There's nothing out there for both systems. PS5 has more.
Obviously, you're buying a PlayStation to play the best selling PlayStation title, Astro's Playroom.
Yeah, exactly. It's just hilarious, you know.
Remember when stupid ass Nintendo was touting their Wii the Wii Sports as their best selling title,
system seller, yeah.
They were best selling title, Wii Sports Resort. It was like, it comes with the goddamn console.
Yeah,
they're not selling it.
Yeah, by that metric, Astro's Playroom is probably PlayStation's best selling game, right?
Theoretically, yes.
PS5 is best selling. Yeah.
For how many PlayStations there is a person that has Astro Playroom.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. That's crazy, man. So yeah, not surprised there. And the rest of this year is looking kind of grim, you know. Moving on here. Now this one I had to throw in because I was like, wait, didn't this already happen? But I guess it didn't. Sony Interactive Entertainment has acquired Nixxis. I'm like, I thought they did already, or am I bugging? This is like an Insomniac situation, right? Like, didn't they do that already? You know, and Nixxis, obviously.
I feel like we heard something like
that's
that.
That's what
before.
I'm saying, but this is a new report, you know? Or, yeah, I don't know. Kind of weird. I saw that in a timeline. Anyway, but we know what's up. This one, Manny. So this is something from Mob Hits. He wanted you to talk about this. Limited Run Games apologizes for CDR disc after fan outcry. Says it's working on press dissolution. We would like to apologize unreservedly to all who have purchased the game. So let me read this real quick and move on. I want to read this because it's from our homegirl, Taylor, you know, over at IGN. Got to give a lot of love to Taylor. We're always texting and stuff, cracking each other up, you know. Limited Run Games, the company known for selling limited special edition quantities of physical video games, has issued an apology after fans complained that they were having issues playing the physical release of the game D on the original 3DO game console. Oh, shit. Okay. Several on, Twitter and Reddit pointed out the problems, including a user, whatever, who noted that the company is putting out the 3DO games on CD recordable CDR instead of press disc. They won't even work on real hardware. Fuck. That's bad, man. For those unaware of the differences between CDR and press disc, the former are blank discs that you can record data on using a CD burner. At the same time, the latter has data permanently encoded and is used for commercial releases of physical media, including movies and video games. Pricing and scarcity of these products aside, Limited Run Games' decision to use CDR over press disc is an issue regarding compatibility, as older devices with optical drives might have issues reading CDRs. Yo, that is some shady shit, man. Yeah, they're using CDRs for some of the disc-based games. So, yeah, again, the users are just complaining about this. So, Manny, what's your take on this?
To be honest, like, the one thing I can see why they sort of used it is because the 3DO actually doesn't have any sort of encryption system on there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they should be pressing their own discs.
Yeah.
To do this sort of stuff. There's like two ways to get CDRs to work. And one of them involves actually having a CDR burner that is of the era to burn in the same speed as the original, as what it was originally at the time. So, like, if you're doing, like, ROM games, like, let's say you want to have a game run on a Sega CD or something like that, you have to, in order to use a CDR burner, you have to have a burner slow enough to be able to do that. obviously whoever did these burns didn't even account for any of that. So that's why there's a compatibility issue. This wouldn't be the first time that Limited Run Games has had some controversy. I mean, a lot of people are very less than, you know, are not very happy with their release schedule. A lot of their games, and you, Tony, have experienced this, where you ordered a game, like, what was it, Streets of Rage?
I've ordered three games from them, and in every single instance when the game came, I was shocked, because I was like, I don't remember ordering it, because literally months had passed.
Yes, every single instance. Usually it's a long time between release. They don't have any day and date releases for any of their titles. It is very rare that those things happen. So it's like, why would you even do that? Like, number one, you want to catch, if you're going to do this, have this sort of thing, you're going to want to catch these things on the day and date scheduling. Other limited, physical game, companies have been able to achieve this. Strictly Limited Games, they do it. In fact, I bought quite a bit of games from them, and they came in day and date, and they are in the UK. So I literally got it from the UK on the same day or close to the same day that it released. There's also a list of other things that has happened with limited run games as far as less than desirable practices. So it doesn't, to be honest, this doesn't surprise me that they've sort of cut the corner on here and didn't really do all their research. But again, they shouldn't be selling burned games. Even if they do have a burner, an industrial burner that burns at the proper speed that a 3DO can read, or any of the older consoles, this thing should have been tested. And obviously it was never tested. They put out a game and it didn't work. Huge fuck up, especially if you're putting out older games, which they have done before. They've put out cartridges that run on Super Nintendo and a bunch of other different things too. So it's unfortunate. But it also doesn't, it's not really surprising.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, skeevy stuff, man. All right. Moving on here. By the way, quick apology about the Nexus thing. I saw that in the chat, but that's actually from 2021. So that's why I was like, well, didn't we talk about that? So that's my fault for not double checking that, because I just grabbed whatever's in the chat. I'm like, that's interesting. When I saw it, I'm like, huh? What do you mean? Like, did they put a ring on it? Because obviously Nixxis has made many, many games, or help for PlayStation, help them port games, I should say. All right, let's move on. Brian, you could take the lead on this one. So Dark Void is getting delisted on Steam. What the fuck is going on?
Yes, from May the 8th, you'll no longer be able to pay for Dark Void, as well as Dark Void Zero and Flock from Steam, as they'll be no longer be available for purchase, which is very strange, but some odd reason it's also having a sale on, so now is a good chance to buy them so that you can download them. Also, keep note that if you do purchase them, then you still have the ability to download them after the fact. It's just you won't be able to purchase them from May the 8th, so that's a bit weird. So far, I can't find anything about Xbox and PlayStation Network, so I'm not too sure if they'll stay on there, or even if they are on there, so not too sure. But obviously, if you have the physical edition, you'll be in a great place. I got the Platinum, so I'm not too fussed, but it's also, again, just, they haven't said any reason why, so we don't know whether it's licensing, or Capcom just said we're done, or some copyright music or something. There's just no reason. It just will be gone.
I mean, it did flop really pretty damn hard. So why would Capcom continue to keep a game that flopped so badly on their listed? To be honest, it was already on borrowed time anyways.
Yeah. So the game's probably super cheap right now, isn't it, Brian?
Yeah. It's on sale at the moment, on Steam at least. So you can get it for 50% off, which is, I guess, US, that'll be around $4, $5, give or take.
Yeah.
So
I'll grab it, even though the game probably, I haven't heard it. I remember playing a demo, like, this game sucks, but what was it, $5? I'll buy it. Why not? I may already have it. Who knows?
Yeah, you probably do. It's basically Space Uncharted with robots and a jetpack.
Nolan North too.
Exactly. Again, just don't know why. So it's just very strange. But okay, yeah, these things unfortunately happen. It's a shame.
Yeah. Jay Shep asks, have you guys already talked about the Take-Two layoffs? We haven't talked about it. I was originally not even going to bother because I'm like, oh, more layoffs. Here we go. But since you brought it up, Jay Shep, let's talk about it. We still got time here. I'm going to read this from Game Industry Biz because, again, I saw that. I'm like, oh, more layoffs, whatever. we talk about this shit every fucking month, basically. You know, this year's brutal, man. Okay, more details have emerged about the ongoing layoffs. Ongoing, because remember, it's still going with Take-Two. More details have emerged about the ongoing layoffs of Take-Two Interactive, with reports suggesting the publisher has shut down two indie-sized studios. I think that's what it was. When I saw the studios they closed, I'm like, who gives a shit, you know? Bloomberg reported it has seen internal documentation that reveals UK developer Roll7, known for the Ollie Ollie series and Rollerdrome, is planned for closure, with the publisher working on severance agreements for affected staff. The documents also detail plans to close Intercept Games, the Seattle-based studio behind Kerbal Space Program 2.
Damn it!
Uh-oh.
Okay,
Brett. God damn it.
It hit Brett.
I was not giving a fuck until right now, just now. Son of a bitch.
Yeah. All right, Brett, so what's your quick take on that?
Kerbal Space Program is fucking awesome.
I remember you've been talking about that for years too, you know?
Yeah, man. Kerbal's it's genuinely pretty great, and it's a bit of a shame because it really teaches you more about rocket science than any other single thing I can think of. Like, I just VTech and trajectory and just, fuck, man, like, I did not realize how incredibly hard rocket science was. And I figured it was pretty fucking hard, but like, Kerbal Space Program is one of those games that's like, you're being educated without really realizing how much you're being educated. So it's a bit of a shame that that one's not going to be supported too much longer. Oriori, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, this is just the problem with having shareholders, because it's just going to be even if they make great games, they're then going to get fired so that the stock prices look better, and then they just rehire new people and demand that they do an equal or better job than the team that they just let go of. Like, I don't see a world where this is going to start making more sense anytime soon. I think the only other thing that you could actually see is Chris would probably be able to tell me. It's starts with a D. It's when a company shares their profits with you instead of the normal shareholder structure of
dividends.
Dividend. There we go. That's it. If we started seeing companies that were working with dividends and had successful games, or games that were successful, maybe not even, you know, wildly successful, or maybe sometimes even a little less successful than the previous one, but still doing pretty good, then we'd be paying out dividends. And we would be rewarding solid behavior, solid performance, and even more so, solid regular performance. So you wouldn't have to be, you know, breaking the bank every time. But like, when you get to a point now where, like, okay, so Elden Ring was amazing. So what? Elden Ring 2 has to be that much better. Like, it's unsustainable. At a certain point, just doing a damn fine job should be good enough. And if we lived in a world where we're doing that, sure, I think we could have a healthy gaming industry on our hands. But as it currently stands, like, there's no winning. It just gets bigger and faster until it collapses, and then it starts all over again. And I think that I don't think it's a coincidence that you're starting to see people laid off more and more and more and more regularly. It seems like, fuck, like, every time it's time to, you know, turn in the investor reports, if you haven't succeeded in getting, you know, infinitely bigger and better, then they're just going to fire a bunch of people so the numbers look better. Sometimes, even if you do your job, they'll fire a bunch of people so the numbers look better. It's a no-win scenario. So, congratulations. This is a dystopian future we all earned. So, here we are.
Yeah. All right. There you go. So, let's see here. Yeah. Go ahead, Rich.
Oh, no. I have a comment to make after you continue.
Yeah, so it says here the Seattle studio that got closed down, it was 70 people that got affected by that. Both studios are part of private division Take-Two's label for publishing indie games. The label formed Intercept Games in 2020 after taking over development of Kerbal Space Program 2 and acquired Rule 7 in 2021. Bloomberg reported other private division staff have been affected by layoffs, with a source telling Game Industry Biz that the vast majority of the label's teams in Seattle, New York, Las Vegas, and Munich have been let go. When asked for confirmation, Take-Two issues the same statement as yesterday. All right, we don't need to read a statement. Go ahead, Rich. What's your thoughts?
Well, first and foremost, let me say I am definitely aware of both of those games, especially the Kerbal game. So it sucks to hear this news. What I want to say also, though, is that I want these companies to start taking accountability for how they are spending their money. Because the thing about Take-Two is that these are the same people that are in charge of Rockstar Games. They have the 2K games such as NBA 2K, WWE 2K, and of course, they just released the tennis game Top Spin about 2 weeks ago. And I'm pretty sure they're still making money off of GTA Online. So I would like to know how they are actually spending this money, because to me, it's, you know, obviously Grand Theft Auto 6 coming out next year. That is easily, I'm pretty sure everybody here will agree, that is one of the most anticipated, most hyped games coming out next year.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure they're going to make a ton of money next year. That's why I don't understand how they're using their money. But again, and then also, they also had acquired, I believe it was Gearbox Borderlands. For that, I think that was like $460 million or something like that. So my thing is, you can't treat this as I have a whole bunch of money, so I'm going to acquire all of these things. You have to have some type of discipline with this stuff. So I just don't understand, because when I saw this news about the layoffs, I'm like, that's one company I didn't think that would have layoffs, because they're bringing in money from various ways. So it's how they are spending the money. They need to take a look at that and hold themselves accountable for it.
Because I don't think it's really obviously, yes, it's that, but it's also, I think it's also the demands of the investors themselves. They always expect to see growth, you know, or always continue to make money. So like, if they're looking like, you know, again, this is, they're probably doing the same old phase, you know, they'll let a bunch of people go, you know, to look like they're profitable, you know, and then they ramp up again. Where now they have, the Gearbox studio. So, yeah, I feel it's less about money and more about looking profitable and mindful to the investors.
Well, the timing is bad then, because if you want to look profitable, you would dump you would dump heads closer to the end of your fiscal year or the end of the calendar year. So this is odd timing to dump people now, right? It doesn't, even on a quarterly report, it's not, that's short term. You want to look good overall. So actually, that used to be a problem at Activision. That's what Bobby Kotick would do so he could get his bonus, right? Because the shares had to hit a certain price. So he cut people at the end of the calendar year or near the end of the year, close to the holidays, so that they would get a bump. And then he would get his bonus, right? So that's it's an underhanded strategy, but it's a strategy that's been done.
Yeah. Okay, Jay Shep, he says, asking me, do you want to bring up Jess Corden's comments tonight? I don't, but I guess we have to. And the reason I say this is because Jess Corden and I, we work for the same parent company, so I don't want to look like we have any beef. Him and I, very cool with each other. We, you know, obviously back in the day, him and I got into it on Twitter, but we hashed things out. And then ironically enough, we ended up working for the same parent company, Future PLC. So I don't want to delve too deeply into something that one of my colleagues is involved in. But it is worth talking about regardless. Basically, earlier this week, not earlier, it was a couple of days ago, Jess Corden, you know, for those who don't know, Jess Corden, he's like, he's considered a major Xbox like insider/influencer. He also hosts the Xbox 2 podcast with Randall Thor, not to be confused with Randall Thor from Wheel of Time. That's just his, you know, online name. And, you know, people look to him for Xbox news because Jez is, and I think I can say this, he's a big Xbox guy. You know, he's expressed his worry over the future of the company, you know, with regard to putting games on PlayStation. He's not the biggest fan of that, let's just say. He thinks the brand is losing his identity. Apologies, Jess, if I misconstrued that, but that's the general gist of it, you know? Anyway, so a couple of days ago, news started going around that Jez said that all first-party Xbox games would be coming to PlayStation. You already know what happened next. Sites were on fire talking about this.
Oh.
But Jez quickly came out because he was expressing these thoughts in like the Discord for the Xbox 2 podcast. You know how Throwdown we have our Discord for our show? You know, same deal, right? So he was just talking about this with somebody. This gets out. News breaking everywhere. Motherfuckers coming at Jez, and then he had to come out and make a statement saying that he was just giving his opinion. He wasn't, you know, talking about an insider or a scoop or anything. He just was expressing his opinion, right? But then people were mad about that. They were like, hey, dude, you're considered an Xbox insider. You can't just be expressing your opinions all willy-nilly like that, you know?
But he was, in his defense, he was expressing his opinion on a private chat, but you know there is the thing about all of that, about that sort of stuff. If you are expressing an opinion, it doesn't matter, you know, if you especially if you have a station, you should definitely be very careful about what you say, even if it's in a personal thing between the chat and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what I was going to say. Like, even though obviously I go into the Discord and I mix it up with the fans, I am always very cognizant of what I say because something could come out, you know? I don't think our fans are going to do any shady shit like that, but still, it's a public area, right?
As a professional, you practice, yeah. a certain portion of distance.
Yeah.
There's certain things that you would say to us because you know us personally, that obviously we will never, you know, repeat out in the public, but that cannot be said. The same cannot be said for people in those sorts of free forums. So you be careful about the things you say.
Yeah.
That's just good business.
Yeah. And to your point, there is a very specific hard opinion that I do have on this topic that I will not share publicly, but I'll tell you guys after the show. But regarding this, here's the thing. I kind of sympathize because that is something I also have to deal with. Like people, you know, since I am a journalist, they think anything I express is on like, you know, on a professional level, no matter what. You know, even if it is just an opinion, because I've said this before, some things that I say as an opinion, it's not necessarily something I'm going to write. You know, I'm not writing anything false, but I just go about it. If I'm writing about a game, let's just say, for example, I review a game that I think is terrible. I will express that very differently in a written review than I will on Twitter. Twitter will be, I'll be like, this game is trash, right? Simple, out of the way. But in the review, the spirit of that will still be there, but just written differently, you know? So there is that kind of separation, but people will still go, you are a professional, you're on in a public space, everything you say needs to be your professional opinion. I think that's kind of unfair, but that's just the way things are. That's, you just got to accept that. So with Jez, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just for the plain fact that you have a forum, a public forum that people specifically listen to, your word, even if it is just a side opinion, has way more heft than a normal person. So people taking your words out of context and throwing it out on the net, that instantly can cause trouble. And I think that's pretty much what happened to Jess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not to make it personal, it happened to me. Remember 2 years ago? All I did was say, I'm unsubscribing from Game Pass. That leads to fucking videos, Kotaku writing about me, all because, hey, he's a professional writer. You know, so you got to be cognizant. Any offhand thing you say can and will be used against you by the Twitter mob. You know, this is how things are. So I'm sympathetic to that. So, but I do wish Jez would have thought about that a little bit more. I appreciate the passion, but you got to watch, especially in his position. He is, you know, considered a big time Xbox insider. So his words have even more weight. I am so glad nobody considers me an insider, because I've never put myself out there as an insider. Absolutely not. I'm just a motherfucker running his mouth. You know, I am not getting any scoops. I don't have any insider knowledge and shit, you know. So I'm not about that. The thing is, when you're an insider, people will look at every word you say with even more scrutiny. So you need to be careful, you know. So with this, but regarding this specific thing he talked about, I'm not even going to give it any weight, to be honest, because it's just his opinion. Because people go, oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I'm like, step back. It was just the dude expressing his thoughts. Don't give any weight to this, even if he is an insider. Just relax. But obviously this Twitter, everybody went fucking nuts, you know. It's crazy stuff.
The term insider is such a weird term.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the people that are considered insiders are not insiders at fucking all. Yeah. They're not people that are in the industry. I see the word insider means that you're somebody who actually works in the industry. Like, in other words, you work at specific game studio and you said something.
Yeah.
You leaked something. That's insider knowledge. Whatever a lot of these guys put out on the net, that's not insider. That's just fucking hearsay. There's no insider shit going on.
Yeah. No, I've expressed that too. I have a problem with that term, because the people they are getting their information from are insiders, but they are not insiders. They're scoopers.
Yeah,
I know that sounds bad, but I'm like, what else are you, a fucking scooper?
I mean, that's what it is. It's more of a scoop. You're more of a scooper than an insider.
Yeah, yeah. I remember real quick, just, you know, kind of fun stuff. I remember a few weeks
ago.
Yeah, kind of funny. By the way, there's some. Would they close on their Xbox division? Something like that.
Well, no, they're combining all of
their shows. Yeah,
they're combining all of their shows into one brand. So yeah, they're not differentiating all of the different shows. So there's no PS I Love You, no XCast, none of that. They just have one bigger show that addresses multiple things. You know, pretty much doing Throwdown. You know, they're pretty much doing Throwdown. Just
by
a longer thing. Yeah.
By the way, did they spin it like, you know, it's better to have the powers combined and stuff like that? It's like to get everyone together.
Yeah, they're sort of doing it that way. In other words, like, they're
Otaku Man. What didn't you miss tonight? And
it's better to have everybody together. It's better to, you know. Well, to be honest, like, I feel like they want to keep people tuned in. So they're doing a lot more live shows and streams and things. They seem to be focusing a lot more on their Twitter, at their Twitch stuff. So that's what they seem to be doing.
You know why they're combining their shows. I mean, they got their PR spin on it, but there ain't much worth talking about individually for these damn companies to have those podcasts just on one of them.
Yeah,
every damn time.
As of now, yes. No, there's no big megatons or anything that needs to be spoken about. So you can literally just aggregate everything into one giant show and still get the same viewership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing I was going to say before is, you know, because again, these insiders are always posting stuff, and we talked about this. Actually, we talked about it during that whole Tom Henderson nonsense, you know, where he just broke. That was an insider scoop. You just broke embargo, bro. You know,
That is not insider scoop. That's just you not reading the paperwork. And then also Sony or whoever not checking these motherfuckers for breaking embargo.
Yeah. So anyway, so around that time, I tweeted something out. I just said, like, we as a gaming community need to stop listening to these gaming insiders. And Judge replied, like, I feel personally attacked. It was not directed at you. It was just directed at insiders. I think gaming insiders do more harm than good with regard to the gaming community, because gaming community takes these guys way too seriously. You know, I'm sorry.
Number one, he shouldn't even, if he's doing his due diligence, he shouldn't be considering himself an insider. He should be considering himself more than that.
Well, you're a journalist, dude. You know, he's a journalist.
No, he's not an insider.
You know, but yeah. So, but Anyway, so yeah, I saw the drama. I kind of didn't want to talk about because he's a colleague, but nothing but respect for Jez. And I don't like, but I will say unequivocally, I don't like the fact that people are tagging him. Like, what? Why, guys? It's just an opinion, guys. Okay. Relax.
Yeah, you know? Again, like it's unfortunate. It's like, well, what do they say? If it's in text, it must be true. I feel like that's the same thing when it comes to this sort of stuff. When it's a high priority person, you know, writer, actor, any of that caliber, somebody known says something, it goes further and has more weight than just some dope rope-a-dope on fucking Twitter Spaces saying some stupid ass shit, you know?
Yeah. All right. And the last thing here, kind of making a circle here, we talked about Stellar Blade, Korean developed game. Now we're going to talk about something cool from Korea. The culture ministry says that they want to focus on fostering console game industry in the next 5 years. You know, and we're already seeing some efforts of this. A Lies of P and Stellar Blade. Obviously, Korean games have been around for a while, but they want to go beyond just MMOs and mobile games. They want to really focus on consoles, which is pretty dope, you know? I want more of it, man. Like I said, when I played Stellar Blade, the thing that stuck out to me was like, wow, this does not feel like a Western or Japanese game for obvious reasons. You know, I'm like, I want more of that. All right, J-Shep, good night, brother. Thanks for being on, man. You already know. Throwing out for life. So let me read this, and this is from Korea Times, so it's coming from the source, people. Korea will focus on fostering its console game sector over the next 5 years as part of efforts to revive the country's game industry, the culture ministry said on Wednesday. Under the five-year plan to promote the game industry, the Ministry of Culture, Sports, and Tourism will work to expand the country's share in the global console market by 2028, aiming to reduce its heavy dependence on online and mobile game platforms. That's cool, you know? Korea has the fourth biggest game industry in the world in terms of sales, posting a combined revenue of 22.2 trillion won. That would be 16 billion American in 2022, driven by the growth of online and mobile games. However, the country's share of the global console market is only 1.5%, which constitutes 28% of the entire industry, with mobile games accounting for 44%, according to the ministry. Also, more than 40% of gamers in North America and Europe play console games, the ministry added. The government said it will help local companies cooperate with major global console game companies like Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo to develop blockbuster titles. It also plans to provide support to independent game companies for the development of a wider range of video games. Pretty cool stuff.
So in shortened terms, they're essentially doing the government is subsidizing these titles,
just like they have, you know, K-pop and the movies and all that stuff.
Yeah, the film industry.
They've subsidized all that. So now they're like, hey, let's do that with console games now. And you've seen, you know, the Hollywood, as they call it, the Korean wave, has been very successful, you know, for the country. So. Cool. And like I said, man, like if we get more games that just feel different than what we usually get, I'm all about that, man. You know, so good stuff. All right. That's going to N Squared Podcast. What's up, man? You coming in right as we're about to log off, Brett. You know, but thanks for joining us. All right. Well, we're about to close things up here. For the fuck of it, what games have we been playing lately? Manny, I'll start with you.
I haven't had much time to play anything, but I do have Stellar Blade, and I've been obviously still in the process of Hi-Fi Rush. I'm working on something. You'll probably see it pretty soon.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Carlos, what have you been playing lately?
Nothing. It's the NBA playoffs and the Champions League, and haven't had a chance to catch up with that. Only chess.
All right. As for me, Stellar Blade, baby. Doing my second playthrough on New Game Plus. It feels so like empowering just ripping through enemies because I carried all my powers over, you know. Dope stuff. Trying to get the platinum in it. I think it'll be feasible. There's three endings in the game, according to the trophies. I got one. I'm about to get a second one, so I guess I need to do a third playthrough. But the game's just fun, man. It's just a blast, you know. Moving on here, Brett, what have you been playing lately? Wait for him to mute himself. Uh-oh. Mr. Murdoch. He may not be around. All right, we'll come back to Brett. There he is. He's coming.
I'm sorry. I stepped out for a moment. What's up?
What games are you playing lately, man?
I am playing Dragon's Dogma 2.
Ooh.
Still. That is so much shit in this game that it just, it's, I love how this game is the antithesis of Ubisoft games. Like, just not having constant quest markers, it does feel a little bit daunting in that I don't know where stuff is, and I know I have just straight up missed stuff. Huge chunks of the game, in fact, I'm pretty sure. But, like, I'm also really enjoying it because it feels like I'm listening to, I don't know, something about, like, not having those there makes it feel more like a story.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
I think though, it's just not knowing what's going to happen next. So yeah, it's, I'm pretty sure Brian would back me up on that. He probably will expand on it more. But yes, it is awesome, and it is good old school RPG fun. On that note, I am also still playing Baldur's Gate 3 in Act 2. And then as soon as I finish, I'm like, man, I cannot wait to start an evil playthrough. I'm going to make the coolest evil wizard ever.
Nice, nice. Well, real quick, I got to really give a shout out to N Squared Podcast. He goes, man, it's been a minute since I was a guest on Throwdown. Hope you guys are doing well. If you guys who don't know, this is our boy Nick Castro, the muscly Mario. You know, it's been a hot minute since we've seen my man, you know. But yo, Nick, I peeped you on YouTube the other day, man. I'm glad you're doing your thing, man. I'm glad you're doing your thing, you know. Well, maybe we should have you back on. We had a lot of fun. It was fucking years ago we had you on, you know. But you're a fellow Latino, man, so you know we got to represent. The homie. See, Otaku Man remembers you, you know. My man. All right, Brian, what have you been playing lately?
More of the same. Dragon's Dogma 2. I think I'm getting towards the end of the game now.
Oh, nice, nice.
The match just decides to elevate itself. Yeah, I think I'm getting close to the end of the game now. I unlocked the final zone, if you wish, and it feels like it's getting towards the end. Question to Brett, have you finally fought a Drake yet? As a way for Brett to answer.
Yeah, we'll wait.
If he does answer.
Yeah. Oh, God damn it, I just muted myself.
Damn.
Yes, and I got promptly owned. Other than the first time, though, it hasn't been bad. And I have had a swimmingly easy time in Dragon's Dogma. I think I want to say I've died a total of 4 times. But I think that's also because, like, I'm a mage, and so I just explode everything, and I think it might be easier for mages.
Sorcerer or mage?
Sorcerer.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Wait. Okay, I'm not going to tell you. Yeah. Just wait until you get the mage maester skills. And then,
oh, I'm working on that right now. I'm working on unlocking the maester skills for both of them because I want fucking meteor. Oh, meteor and whatever that tornado spell is. I think it looks dope as fuck.
Yeah, like there are some really powerful combos you can get in the game. But yeah, I'll let you find them. So yeah, Dragon's Dogma 2. I'm getting close to the end. And after that, I think I'll jump back to Dragon Guard 3.
Nice. All right, Chris, what have you been playing lately?
Dragon Guard, eh?
Yeah, Dragon Guard, yeah. Yoko Taro that. Chris, what you got, man?
Oh, I've been pretty exhausted. I haven't been playing too much. I wanted to start Stellar Blade, but I haven't yet. And funny enough, I was going through my backlog of stuff. I was like, oh, and you know, I kind of need something quick to play. So I tried out Sifu, and then as I was playing it, and then becoming elderly by the second boss, I was like, yeah, Brett would like this game because it's like single player Absolver. Maybe I mean, it really
studio.
Is like,
yeah, maybe by the same studio, yeah, too.
But it's totally the same thing. It's like you have to, but the only thing is like you have to do this precise pairing and stuff. And I'm like, I'm too old and tired for this. I'd rather go back to Stellar Blade. So I think I'm going to put that aside. And I still have Alone in the Dark, but Alone in the Dark, man, it takes so long to get through because it's all the files. You have to, basically everything gets narrated to you. So you look at, you get everything through files, which is like old school gameplay, right? Pick up a file and read it to find out what the hell's going on. But everything is narrated in the game. So you're sitting there waiting for the narration to finish. And you don't have to, but I'm like, all right, let me hear this story because, you know, I'm tired. And then you do
some action stuff, but there's not a whole lot of action in it. It's more like walking around finding files. So I got kind of bored, so I might skip and just probably on the weekend I'll start Stellar Blade and then go back to it later.
Nice. And Rich, what have you been playing lately?
I've also been playing Stellar Blade, trying to get the platinum, but that will take a little bit of time because, you know, still busy with work. And aside from that, WWE 2K24, because they just had a draft on Monday, so I've been trying to make my own version of my brand on the game.
Nice.
But yeah, that's it until, Hellblade 2, I think.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's the next big game that's dropping.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting distracted on Twitter. You know those, like, the Optimus Prime and Megatron, like, toys that transform, like, by themselves? Apparently, if you put them together, they interact with each other.
Yeah, they do the lines from Transformers the movie.
Yeah, they start interacting with each other. That's hilarious. Like,
you fall! Yeah. Rip out your optics!
I'll rip out your optics! I'll have to check this out after the show. That's hilarious. They start interacting. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, Rich, what is going on with the Coalition, man?
Oh, yeah. So, the coalition.com website, we actually have three reviews that got posted up this week. We have a review for the Remnant 2 DLC titled The Forgotten Kingdom, a review for Life is Futile, the MMO, because I guess they did an update for 2024, which apparently has not been well received by the reviewer.
Uh-oh.
And we also have a review for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Arcade, Wrath of the Mutants, by our very good friend Adam Vale. So yeah, if you guys are interested in hearing our thoughts on those games, feel free to check out the website. We do have quite a bit of other things coming. So stay tuned to our YouTube channel as well as the website.
You already know, man. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord with the conversations and the rumors always popping. And obviously, if you have been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed our videos, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. You can also find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's towards Throwdown Show. And throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Peace.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
Yes, putting a bounty on someone's head because they started a petition is a really smart thing to do.
All right, people, we'll see you on Sunday. Don't put bounties on people's heads, man. Later.
Don't tell me what to do.
Later.